Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition. In fact, this is the last broadcast of the year for Sister AJ. This is her last broadcast in 2021. The last broadcast of this great, great, great show is this, The Church. And throughout this year, we have discovered that much of what is promoted as the church is not the church, is not the gospel, is not true preaching, is not true teaching. It's not the real Jesus. No, it's not. It's been a great year. It's been a great year for this program, a year of learning for me, great instruction, illumination. My eyes have been opened. I didn't know anything about Joel Osteen and his dopey series on the life of Christ. I knew nothing of Dallas Jenkins and his asinine series, and I do emphasize asinine series on the life of Jesus, The Chosen. I don't care how snappy the song is. I don't care. Listen, it's garbage. And my eyes have been opened thanks to Sister AJ and her wonderful persistence. Because it takes persistence to be on the air each and every week doing your best for Christ. And Sister AJ needs to be applauded for that. So let me just bring on, but before I do, let me just remind you that I've been reaching out to Brother Kevin Morris. The last time I reached out to him was yesterday. He didn't return the call. I suspect that he's having a hard time with the chemo, and so let's just keep him in prayer. You know, he's got the bone cancer, and he's got it bad. So let's just keep him in prayer that the Lord will strengthen him and give him the victory, that God, the God of peace, because the Bible calls God the God of peace in Romans 15:33. And this is what it says in Romans 15:33. It says, and the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now, that word peace in the Greek means serenity, tranquility. But it's more than serenity and tranquility. It also means wholeness and prosperity. May the God of serenity, tranquility, wholeness, and prosperity be with us all. Amen. That's Paul's word in Romans 15:33. And then he goes on to say in Romans 16:20, and he says, and the God of peace, again, the God of serenity and tranquility and wholeness and prosperity, may that God bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Think about that. God takes Satan, puts him down on the ground, and lets you and me stomp on him. It goes on to say, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. Under whose feet? Under God's feet? No. Under the Holy Spirit's feet? No. Under Jesus' feet? No. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet, which means the church members' feet. Wrap your head around that. You see, if we're co-heirs with Christ, and if we are remember, you are co-heirs with Jesus, you are co-sufferers with Jesus, therefore, if you're co-heirs and co-sufferers, you're also co-conquerors. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's enough for the preaching for today. Let me bring on Sister AJ. Keep Brother Kevin in prayer. He needs our prayer. He needs our prayers. When you're hurting and you send in a prayer request, we pray for you. We pray for you faithfully. So it's the holiday seasons. This is the second time within a year that he's going to have a Christmas without his beloved sister, Sister Linda. You know, Sister Linda from North Carolina. She went home to be with the Lord last November. So this is the second time in about a little over a year that he will have a Christmas without his sister. And they were like, listen, they were tight. And now he's got cancer, and no one's there to help him. So let's continue to pray. He's our brother. He's one of the faithful. He's one of the ones who loves the Lord. And so we join in prayer. All right, Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, considering what some of our other brothers and sisters are going through.
Amen.
I have no complaints, right? I mean, nothing to be sad about, other than I'm sad for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through. I got another phone call yesterday from a young man. His name is Keith Roy Graham. He called me from a hotel room in New York City because when he went to the hospital and they found out he had COVID, stuck him in a hotel room, and he can't get out for 10 days. He's been sequestered. So he called me yesterday, and he was in real bad shape. He's one of the Bible Institute students. So he called to let me know he was really messed up. And not only was he messed up, he was afraid. Because, you know, when the government takes you and they put you in a hotel room and they throw away the key, right? We're talking about
it's scary.
We're talking about Mayor de Blasio, Mayor Communist, and New York City.
And I'm pretty sure that it's probably at his expense. I don't think the government pays for that, do they?
I don't know, but listen, if de Blasio takes me and puts me in a hotel room, he's going to pay. He's going to pay. I'm not paying for anything. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
They can send me letters. They can say we threatened to mess up your credit, whatever. I'll say, go ahead, have fun. I'm not paying for anything. Send the bill to Mayor de Blasio, Mr. Communist over there. It's scary. It's scary when they take
you.
Okay, this is where you're going. And that's it. And they, you know, boom. I don't know if this is true. I heard that in China, when the COVID first came out, they welded people in their apartments and left them there to die. I don't know if that's true. I heard that.
Well, I heard those reports too. And even recently in other countries, Australia, they're putting people in basically in concentration camps or prisons.
Wow.
You know, so it's bad.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's getting real, real bad, real bad. So speaking about nut jobs, we turn from de Blasio to Kanye West. Boy, that guy, he's crying over his wife, Kim.
Yes, he is.
Having a hard time.
He is, and Kim is, as we said, it couldn't care less. And in fact, last week she filed some paperwork petitioning the judge to go ahead and dissolve the marriage and give her her maiden name back, which I think she would officially on paperwork she hyphenated. So she's petitioning to drop West from her name.
Wow.
But while they're still working out the custody child stuff and property or whatever, she wants the judge to go ahead and sign off on the dissolution of the marriage part so that she could move on. So Kanye is just making himself look like an idiot by chasing after like a lost puppy, although the thought entered the conspiracy theory side of my mind, because you just can't put anything past these people, is this an orchestrated little stunt where Kanye chases her around look like a lost puppy, making her see to be more desirable or the victim or whatever it is? You know, you just never know with these folks what they'll do to make themselves look better or to improve their brand, because a lot of people believe any publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or whatever. So I wondered about that too.
Sure, absolutely. Like you said, you know, these people have some weird strategies as to how to keep their names out in the newspaper, how to remain. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Kanye's on my lips, right? I mean, so he's got to be doing something right if I'm talking about him, right?
Right.
I mean, so, you know, that, like you said, these people, you know, they have this worldly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do they get more hits? How do they get more likes? Who discovers them, right? You know, because, you know, so that's it. That's, you never know with these crazy people what they're planning and who's driving, you know, their resurrection, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, but they're just, I tell you, she passed the bar. So you know Kanye's in deep trouble now, because she's just typing up her own papers and just filing them, paying the filing fee, because she can do that now. So he's in a heap of trouble.
Passed like pass like a practice test bar. It was, I don't know if it was the actual bar or a pre-bar or something like that. She called it a baby bar. But
right.
either way.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We know what rich people do. Rich people get an envelope. They put money in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they pay somebody, and voila, they pass the bar. And some people say,
right,
well, stop.
Because can you really see Kim Kardashian studying for
not
the
with
bar?
All them boyfriends. You can't study with all them boyfriends.
Some people have said you have to practically sequester yourself to study for that thing. They say it's really tough. Even if it's not the actual bar, I don't think this whatever it was, you know, just a cakewalk. I just don't see her devoting that kind of time.
Look, she's got all these camera shoots. She's got all these boyfriends. She's got all these kids, right? She's got all. She has always
on social media or at some
right?
event.
Exactly. So, it's like Paula White. When does Paula White have a chance to study for a sermon? Never.
right?
Or any of these preachers. None of these preachers have a time. Sarah Jakes. Does Sarah Jakes have time for study the word when she spends 3 hours in makeup, 2 hours in picking out a dress?
No, she doesn't.
No. So again, look, they put money in an envelope. They slide it underneath the table. Somebody takes the ball for them. They pass, you know, and that's that. That's
mm-hmm.
that. You know, and people say, oh, stop lying. Don't lie. Listen, I'm not saying she did it. I'm saying it's possible because look at
it
all those rich people.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's what happened.
Right, look at all those rich people that got caught in the college scam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They knew somebody on the inside. He hooked them up. They paid him. He got their kids into the college. Right or wrong? Am I? The college admission
right.
scam. Right? So this
yep.
rich people do this all the time. They do it all the time. Listen, George Bush, 43, you think he had the brains to go to Harvard? You think?
No.
So how did he graduate? Somebody explain that to me. How did that guy graduate?
And at that time, I think he was like a C student, wasn't he?
Yeah. And at that time, he was drinking. He was an alcoholic. He was, you know, he was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got money. You got connections.
Yep.
That's the way it is. And Kim's got billions of dollars. Billions.
Yep, she does.
So, you know, what does it look? They're connected. These people are connected. They're connected. That's all it is. That's all it is. And that judge, boy, he's gonna erase that name faster than you can count to 10.
Yeah, she'll probably get it signed off on eventually.
Sure. So, as the world turns.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I was telling the brothers and sisters, this has been a great year for you. Congratulations on a very, very successful, illuminating year. About all these characters and all these shows you've done, I knew nothing about none of this. There's just too many cockroaches in the church today for me to keep up with every single one of them.
Right, exactly. There's so many.
That's it. There's just too many problems. But this guy, Dallas Jenkins, you're ending the year on a high note because this guy's a big fish. You know, I mean, he's a big fish. He's causing big trouble.
Mm-hmm. And he's growing by the day, it appears.
Yep, he's growing. He's growing. That's it. I wonder what, you know, what happens is people will ultimately get tired of this chosen garbage. They're all, you know, because everything's a fad in the church. You know, the church is so faddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one fad comes and they get excited, and then after that, they're looking for the next fad.
So you don't think Dallas will be able to make it through all seven seasons he's got planned?
Well, I'm sure he will because, you know, All My Children has been on ABC television
forever,
for 40 years, right? It's been on for 40, 50 years. So, you know, look, it is, you know, Bonanza was on for, I think, 20 years. You know, so I'm not saying it's Bonanza, but in the crazy Christian world, you know, look, there really is no Christian content. Listen, Dallas, you have to admit that Dallas Jenkins really does not have any competition because there is no Christian channel with Christian content. There is none. I'm not talking about Christian television where you got all these
But like movies and shows
that
don't have a whole lot of craziness in it.
Right. So he really doesn't have any competition. Like for example, if you were on a major network, let's say from 9 to 10, and your show was number one, then that's something to write home about because you know that, you know, there's 500 cable channels. And everyone's got there's a new movie, right? A new Netflix streaming channel, Disney streaming, blah, blah, blah. So, but really he does not have, in the Christian world, he doesn't have any competition. And then with dopey, emotional Christians that cry over any little thing that they see, like that lady who was just, I was so blessed. You know, and I'm saying, what were you blessed about? It was, you know, the show was stupid and meaningless.
Right.
I mean, how empty-headed do you have to be that you're bawling over a show that was really nothing? Because I didn't see – listen, that didn't bring one tear to my eye, that show, not one. I don't know what she was crying about.
Me either. But they identify with the way Dallas portrays these characters, and I guess with good reason since we found out at the end of that episode that the Nathaniel character was based on his life, really.
Right. Oh, I was gonna say, boy, when is he gonna do a show on him? And then when you played that little snippet, I said, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. But all right, so set this up for us.
Okay, well, we had been reviewing season 2. And I believe episode 3 of The Chosen, but what I'd like to do this week is we're still doing The Chosen, but I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Dallas had a Christmas special coming out, and he decided to live stream it this past Sunday. So I'm like, well, let me see how he handles the story of Jesus's birth. Because that's what this is about. It's called the Messengers, and it's the story of Jesus's birth from the perspective of Mary and Joseph. So I said, let's see what he does with if he'll do any better with the Lord's birth than he does with his depiction of the Lord's earthly ministry. So that's what we're going to look at today, and we'll pick back up with the rest of the of season 2 when we come back from our break. Before we get to the actual video, audio number 1 is actually a report from CBN, Pat Robertson's little network. They did an interview. They did a story on this movie. And I wanted to look at that first, and then we'll get into the episode itself. And this it's an article, but it's got a video embedded in it, so we'll look at the video.
Okay. Here it is. All right. I don't know what happened here. Okay.
Well, it's got an ad or something that plays before they actually get to the report.
Let me see if I can get rid of this ad. Hold on.
Okay.
Is that the one that says your questions, honest answers?
Let me see
here.
The article itself is titled "Christmas with the Chosen Hits 9 Million in Weekend Box Office. God Has Something to Say." And then right underneath the title, it should be a video. And you'll see a picture of Dallas and another guy in the picture. Now you might have to hit refresh on it or something like that to get it to get back to the.
All right. Let me see what I can do here. Let's see, refresh. Okay. All right, let's see if it'll play now. Why does it do that? It's taking me to 700. It's just giving me options for this monthly donation here. I don't know what it's doing.
Well, it'll have an ad that plays as soon as you hit the little button, and I think it's one of their commercials.
Yeah. It's
and
not,
it's about 20-some seconds long, and you can't get off of it.
Right, right. Okay, so let me see if I can. All right, let's see. No, I don't want to donate.
It shouldn't be asking you to do anything. It's just the commercial that they run during their program.
Right. All right, let me go back out. Let me see if I can find it. Okay.
Messengers tells the story of Jesus' birth and includes special musical performances from several Christian recording artists. That's right. The film has the holiday season may just be getting underway, but the popular series The Chosen is already setting records for its new Christmas special. Christmas with The Chosen, The Messengers tells the story of Jesus' birth and includes special musical performances from several Christian recording artists. That's right. The film has now become Fathom Events' best-selling and most highly attended event in its history, with sales topping $8 million for 640,000 tickets. Wow. I recently spoke with Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, along with one of the music artists featured in the special, Phil Wickham. Take a look. Dallas, why did you decide to create a Christmas special in the first place?
Well, there's two reasons. The Chosen was actually birthed with Christmas. I mean, 4 years ago, I did a short film about the birth of Christ from the perspective of the shepherds, and it was for my church's Christmas Eve service. And like the birth of Christ, we actually started in very humble beginnings. I filmed it on my friend's farm in Illinois, 20 minutes from my house. Well, that is what ultimately was the catalyst for The Chosen, and now that the first two seasons are out and people are really waiting for season three, which comes out next year, we thought, you know, there's an opportunity here in between to give people a brand new episode of The Chosen, and I felt compelled to tell the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of Mary and Joseph this time around, and to really explore the cultural and historical context, some of those human moments that you might not think about when you watch, like when you look at a nativity display, such as, you know, we have a little moment in the show where you see Joseph scooping manure out of the way to prepare room for Mary to have a place to give birth. Those kinds of things, we just felt like there's something to say here. And then to combine that with all these musicians like Phil Wickham and a dozen other artists who did new and traditional Christmas songs, it felt like this is the reason to get people back into theaters. You know, people want to gather, especially around Christmas time, and they haven't been in theaters for so long. This is a good reason to do it, and that's what we've been seeing so far, is people love the theatrical experience. So we thought a new episode plus all these musicians was a great reason to get them there.
Absolutely. Phil, we're going to talk to you in a second, but Dallas, first, why did you involve musical artists in Christmas with The Chosen?
Well, when you think of Christmas, I think that music is as much a part of the experience as gifts. And whether you're a believer or not, and for believers, of course, our Christmas songs are about the birth of Christ. But Christmas is the one time of year where it's its own musical genre. Well, we wanted to do it in a unique way. And one of the things that makes me love Phil Wickham so much and all of these other artists is we chose artists that we believe share our passion for authenticity. And that's the thing that sometimes gets lost in a lot of Bible projects. And a lot of people's experience with Jesus, sometimes it feels like a stained glass window or, as I mentioned, a nativity scene. And the idea of bringing together artists who are going to sing and talk about the truth of what actually happened and why that's actually more beautiful than the painting version of this.
Yeah.
But I don't get it. He wants to promote the truth of what happened, but his own show is bogus. It's not based on any truth.
Right, it's a contradiction, you know, for him to say that the authenticity and the historical context, but he gets a lot of that wrong, even
right.
Just the historical context.
Absolutely. And the other thing is this, you know, when you look at the gospel narratives of the birth of Christ, God does not tell us how Mary feels or how Joseph feels. This is God's
about
account.
The only thing you say that it kind of gives you an idea is when Joseph was going back and forth about putting Mary away when he found out she was pregnant, because he apparently did not or doubted the story until the angel came to him in the dream. And Mary, when Gabriel approached her and told her what was going to happen, she was like, well, how can this be? But that's about the only insight you get into how they may have felt.
Right, but everything else, you know, like he says, we have a scene there where Joseph is shoveling manure.
Because it ain't in the Bible.
I mean,
and it's irrelevant.
Right, you mean... You want to shovel manure? There's 20 farms up here that can use somebody to shovel manure. What does that have to do with, you know, give
and
me a break.
And you got two little dogs to clean up after, so you
that's
have
it.
To.
That's it. You know what my kids do? My kids walk them, right? And then they, you know, they pick up the stuff. And they put the little bags by the garage. There was 14, 15 bags yesterday. And I said, and who you expect to? Daddy, you can do it, Daddy. What? You can't walk it over? No. So I know what it is to shovel manure. Please. And that has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. So he's born in a manger.
Right.
Big deal. There's no shoveling manure. What does a scene of Joseph shoveling manure, what does that contribute to the story? Somebody explain
Nothing.
That to me. Nothing. Nothing. That's it. Listen, that's asinine. Asinine. Wow. Okay, let's listen.
Is what really compelled me. And I think also, when you know and love Jesus more, which is what the goal of The Chosen is, you want to sing. You want to worship. That's the result. And so that's what this special is about, is combining those two worlds.
I love it. Phil, thank you so much for being patient.
No, it's not about worshiping the Lord. It's about having viewers.
That's right.
But
and
his
worship,
bottom line
and
is...
People mistake worship and praise as it's always got to do with music and singing, but not necessarily.
That's right. The Magi who worshiped Jesus and the shepherds, they didn't sing a song, not one song.
Mm-hmm. And even when the angels were talking to the shepherds and they were saying glory to God in the highest, that wasn't necessarily the angels singing, even though the narrator says, Luke says that they praised God, but that doesn't mean it was a song.
Boy, I tell you, if you know, no, this is a special for you to make money. That's what this is about.
And he did, as you can see from this report.
Sure, sure. Okay.
What was it like working with so many different artists, in addition to actors, directors, and everyone else involved in such a big film production?
Well, I'm a huge fan of The Chosen already and have become a friend of Dallas. So when he invited me into this Christmas special, told me the vision of it, that it's going to be this new episode, but also there's all these artists involved. I mean, I jumped at the chance to be a part of it. I was like, give me a light to hold. I'm just there. I'll sweep the ground, whatever you want. But, man, when he said, no, we want you to end the whole thing with your version of Joy to the World, but we're going to have your band there and other artists. And a 200-voice children's choir and a crowd are going to be on the set at The Chosen. I was like, man, sign me up. That sounds amazing. But then I saw the list of other artists that were going to be with me. Like you said, I was with all these incredible artists, Maverick City, Brian and Katie Torwalt. I mean, the list goes on. There's like 12 artists involved with this thing. And I just felt a little bit in over my head. Like, these are artists I'm a fan of. Like, I go to their concerts sometimes, you know. But honestly, when we all stepped onto that set, and felt the reverence and the vision and kind of all internally and externally gathered around the manger and this story, we just all kind of bowed in humility and reverence at the whole thing. And I think what we got as we all banded together was something beautiful from all different streams of the churches coming together, just a huge, incredible picture of what Jesus came to do, which is to save us and to unite us. And so it's a beautiful thing. I can't wait for y'all to see it.
Yeah, you painted such an amazing picture there for us. Well, Dallas, what has been the response so far to the film? You alluded to this a little bit earlier, but, you know, and how does it make you feel that people are coming out, getting in theaters during a pandemic?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I personally am not motivated by numbers anymore. God took all that away from me. For me, it's about impact and seeing what God is doing. I feel like I'm a fortunate passenger on this train, and God has something to say, and I'm just wanting to be a part of it. And so that's what's cool when I'm, you know, just last night, Phil and I went to the theater to surprise some people and also to introduce the movie to, well, it's not a movie, but it's a this experience to people. And it was so cool to see them afterwards. So many of them had tear-stained faces. I talked to people who said, well, I haven't seen the show before, and now I'm going to watch it because of this special. But the most important thing was they said, my experience with Christmas, my understanding of the birth of Christ has been reignited because of this. And that's what's been so overwhelming, is people just seem to be responding to what God is saying. And I'm just lucky and fortunate to be a steward of it. I think Phil and I, we talk about that all the time, like how exciting it is just to be able to be a part of this.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, what do you both?
No, he just said he's not interested in numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just,
yeah.
That's a bold-faced lie. Because
yes,
what are they
is.
Touting? What are they touting now? The numbers.
Mm-hmm. The attendance, the money they've made. It's all
right.
About the numbers.
That's it. It says, look at the title of this snippet. It says, Christmas with the Chosen, the Messengers, is setting even more records after. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the little smirk on his face when she says to him, you know, what do you think? I can hand this over to somebody else right now. Well, good. Hand it over to me. Well, give me the show. I want to put you to the test. Give me the show.
Shut down if you get, you know, before he gives
right.
it up.
Listen. It's not about the numbers. God took that away from me. Stop lying, you hypocrite.
Yes, he's a big liar.
Yeah, I mean, God took that. What are you talking about? I mean, you know what's amazing? These people lie.
Because if the numbers weren't right, this show wouldn't be on.
Yeah, and that's why he was boo-hooing before when, I failed in Hollywood. The numbers weren't there. I failed as a director. And my wife told me, don't worry about the loaves and the fishes. I mean, come on. We know that in the world, not in the church, but in the world, everything is about numbers.
Yes.
In the world, everything is about numbers.
Especially if there's money involved, it's about making money for these studios and theaters. And they're
right.
Not going to do this if they don't think they can make some money off of it.
Sure.
And I think
sure.
For Dallas, the numbers are also about a level of vindication that he might feel, and maybe Hollywood should have given him another chance, or you know, I don't know his thoughts, but I'm just guessing that might be part of it, that he is saying to Hollywood, see, look, I'm
Listen,
a success without you.
His ultimate goal. When you're filled with pride, your ultimate goal is to tell people, one, I told you so. I told you I was
mm-hmm.
a superstar, but you didn't want to believe I was a superstar. Because I could just tell he's been pumped up all his life by his daddy to the point where now he's an egomaniac. And he was so depressed
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't get out of bed because, you know, I failed and the movie didn't do well and I was so depressed and, you know. But
right.
Now he's I'm looking at him and he's got that stupid grin. My mother used to say to me.
That cheesy
yeah.
grin on his face.
Right, right. My mother used to say to me, wipe that stupid grin off your face. That's what my mother used to say to me. And that's
yeah,
what
I heard
got.
That a time or two as well.
Right, right, right. So, okay.
It's a very smug, prideful look.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. All right, here's a little bit more.
I just want the audience to walk away with after seeing this.
Yeah, well, I'll mention my thing and you can mention yours. Mine is the phrase, people must know. It's a phrase that's kind of the theme of this special, and it's called Christmas with the Chosen, The Messengers. The Messengers was what they used to call angels back in those days, and we think about the fact that the angels delivered, they gave the message to the shepherds and to Mary and Joseph, and then the shepherds then were the messengers to other people, and there's a phrase at the end of the special that says, we're the messengers now, because people mm-hmm. must know. People must know about the birth of Christ, and I think that's...
So in other words, he wants to promote word-of-mouth advertising. That's it. Right?
Well, he's trying to spin it to say it's about people must know about the Lord, but it seems like woven into that is always about bringing people to the chosen, bringing people to mm-hmm. people seeing this, and now they want to watch the show. And so it intermixed with all that. Is the show The Chosen,
right.
Not
it's,
the Lord.
It's, right. It's his way of weaving into the show, okay, you are the advertising arm for me.
Right.
And, you know, because right now there's a new Marvel movie coming out, Spider-Man No Way Home, right? That's the new Marvel. And they're
mm-hmm.
running ads. Every other commercial is a Spider-Man commercial, right?
Yeah.
Because they're pushing it,
right?
So now he doesn't have those advertising dollars, so what does he do? At the end, he makes an appeal. Okay, you are the messenger now. That's like Governor Hochul was telling people in that church, you are my apostles now. Go tell people to get vaccinated. It's the same thing.
And go buy the merchandise so people can see you can be a walking billboard for Dallas
right.
and his shows.
Right, and he's going to have a new T-shirt. You are the messengers. That'll be his new T-shirt.
Well, people need to know of whatever that slogan is something.
Right.
That, yeah, people must know. That
mm-hmm.
that's a T-shirt somewhere, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. We got a few more minutes here.
That's the theme of it.
Yeah, I think The Chosen, they do so much with excellence in telling the story of Jesus. But what I'm so thankful for is this word he used, authenticity. They bring this the humanity of the truth of this story. I see myself in the characters as I watch the show. It doesn't seem like some lofty religious piece of art. It feels real. And that's what I think about this Christmas episode.
Wow. So the Bible is lofty and religious?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel, and this show feels more real than the Bible. Don't forget that part. With
right,
the
right.
stuff that Dallas has been saying all along in some of the interviews we watched.
Right. And then on the other hand, he says this is not to replace the Bible, but you have.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, maybe he figures if he puts that disclaimer out there, then God will be okay when the time comes to give an answer for these things.
No, this is rubbish. This is complete rubbish. Again, how, I mean, you listen, if you were to say on his staff, he had a mouse on his writing staff, he had a woodpecker, he had a bumblebee, and he had an inchworm. And I would say, okay, it was the inchworm who gave him the idea to write it down that Joseph would be shoveling manure. Because, listen, you have to have a pea brain to write that into a script and then boast about it. I mean, think about it. He boasted about that scene. He's boasting.
Yes.
Like,
you know,
what?
Joseph shoveling manure, and I suppose from the story in the Bible, you could gather that maybe they had to clean some stuff and move some things around, but it's not relevant to what the Bible says is important about this account.
Right.
It's
right.
about
I mean,
Emmanuel. It's about Emmanuel, God with us.
It's crazy. This is crazy. Like, okay, which writer told you to put that in the scene? It must have been the inchworm. You know, because oh my goodness, and he's like highlighting. He's like underscoring that.
Yes,
you know?
He is. Of all the scenes to highlight, he highlights Joseph shoveling manure.
Wow. Well, I mean, wow. That's, I mean, that tells you where this guy's mind is. I mean, what does shoveling manure have to do with my salvation? It's irrelevant.
Not a thing.
Not, you know. Why don't you add that at the same time Joseph was so good-hearted that he gave the animals hay to eat? Why don't you put that in the scene? You know, to pay the rent, he was feeding the animals.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. A few more seconds.
So as well. And so it brings it home into my heart where I think it begs the question for anybody who asks, so what am I going to do with Jesus?
Mm.
And I hope that people really ponder that throughout the season and are encouraged that Jesus, God named himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so not one of you watching out there is alone, because Jesus didn't just come 2,000 years ago, but he's still involved intricately with each one of your lives. And so I hope people are encouraged and blessed by this.
And you can catch the film in theaters now through December 10th. For more information and tickets, go to thechosen.tv/Christmas.
Well, it won't be in Little Falls, I'll tell you that much.
I didn't even check to see if it was in my area. And since they live streamed it, I didn't watch it live because I forgot it was on Sunday. But I did see it Monday. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll look at this on the show this week to see what Dallas does with the story of Jesus. But if this report is any indication, I'm not very encouraged. What about
right,
you,
right.
sir?
Nope, I'm not. Listen, out of all the things he could have told us about the show, out of all the things he's had, the greatest scene is Joseph shoveling manure. What?
Right.
I mean, I see people doing that every day here. That doesn't impress me.
Exactly.
You know, so, mm-mm. Wow. Wow. I tell you, what rubbish. What rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really interested in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
God took that away from me long ago.
But then everything is about the numbers. A lot of the things out of his mouth is about the numbers.
Right. Right. So, no, this is complete rubbish. 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 So, all right, let's go to the next audio.
The audio number two is the actual live stream, and as you can see, it's pretty long, but we're not going to look at because the majority of it is the music concert thing, a small snippet of it is the episode itself. It's no longer than any of the other episodes we've looked at, and me personally, I would have been angry if I had paid money to go to the theater to see this.
Wow. Wow. All right, so where do you want me to start it?
Okay. The actual episode starts at 1:24:31 mark. And just to set it up, so, yeah, that's where it starts at. Now, Dallas does some commentary here. I don't know if you want to listen to that real quick. A lot of it is just kind of along the lines of what he said in this interview. But if you want to hear that, we can.
No, I'll skip that gibberish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the story, real quick, it seems to have two plot lines running because when it first starts, in the, I guess, what's the present? It'll give a time stamp of 48 AD. And it's telling some story along that line, but it flashes back and forth and it'll go to an earlier time. And as far as Mary and Joseph, it does not show the stuff leading up to Joseph and Mary being betrothed and getting married.
Right.
And it doesn't show any of that. That part of it starts when they're on their way to Bethlehem. So I just wanted to set that up just so you won't be confused when you see this, whatever this is he's doing.
Right.
But it starts at the 1:24:31 mark. And then it ends at the 2-hour mark and 22 seconds.
Wow. So basically – an hour and a half is just gibberish.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Wow, yeah, I would have been real mad if I had paid money to see gibberish. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, here it is. Thank you. Okay, so what was the reason for showing me that guy and that wagon? What was that about?
Well, as far as I could tell, it's a future or a present event, and this guy is going into this town, and he sees a bunch of Roman soldiers around just so people can know what was going on with the scene, and it's a guy driving a wagon with stuff in the back, and he goes back and he kind of covers it and fiddles with what his cargo is. So apparently he's smuggling something or someone into this town, and he wants to try to make sure he doesn't get caught. But I guess Dallas is going to eventually reveal to us what this is, but this guy smuggling something or someone into the town in the back of that wagon is what, yep, that is. Now, why he chose to open up with that, I don't know.
I don't know what that has to do with the Christmas story. You're talking about something that...
He might be showing some the present time, and then event. I don't know. Maybe somebody's going to be recalling or thinking back on the Christmas. Well, you know, the birth of Jesus. Maybe that's what
right.
it is.
Right. All right. Let's see. Let's see what it is. Let's see.
Might see Samuel, but it's been so long. I don't know if he's living in the same home.
Hope so. You said so much about him.
We will see. We won't have any time to look for him if he's not, of course.
We'll see.
Are we out? Not even a drop.
Joseph?
Yes?
Can you stop, please? I'd like to walk for a bit.
No, Mary. Why would you want to walk? Ingrid.
I'm getting a bit uncomfortable. Elizabeth actually told me it's good to walk and move when I get up.
We won't have any water until I get you to town. You need your rest. Oh. Let me get you more comfortable, huh? Okay.
Joseph, you don't have to be the only one walking. Does my father left away from Nazareth? Don't have to hide my condition anymore.
Mary, this blanket is stuck. There is no way that you are comfortable.
Joseph, I'd like to walk with you. Please.
I am responsible for you, Mary. For you and...
You protect us.
Yes.
I know. I'll let you help me down.
All right. You can walk for a few minutes, huh? But please, not too far. You need to save your strength.
I actually do need you to help me down.
Now, there was a scene there where Joseph thinks that the saddle's uncomfortable. So he tries to fix the saddle with Mary on it. Now,
that's not gonna work.
That, come on. How do you fix a saddle with a person on it? You can't, listen, if it was a child sitting on it who weighs 30 pounds or 40 pounds, you still couldn't fix a saddle. You have to remove the person completely off to adjust it. There's
right.
no way.
And sit it. And since it was common for people to ride donkeys in that time, I think that Joseph would know that he has to take her down to readjust the saddle.
Right. Especially a cloth saddle. Right? He's tugging on it like he's fixing it. That's not how you fix a saddle, by tugging on the ends.
No.
Right? I mean, no. Wow. I mean, just... Do they think we're that stupid? I guess, you know. I guess a lot of people living in the city.
Or we're supposed to believe that they would be that stupid when this was something they did all the time. You know, and I've never been on a farm or ridden a horse or anything, but I'm just trying to use common sense.
It doesn't work. It just that doesn't even make any sense. And I see him, he's pulling on it. How can you pull on it with a person that weighs 100 pounds? You can't fix that. The person has to come completely off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. There's no way you can fix it. You know, wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Slowly. Watch the baby. Okay. Okay?
Hey. It feels better.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you for protecting me. I don't know that I've seen that yet.
We have a little ways to go yet. Let's see how tonight goes and...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... before.
Oh.
I've been meaning to say something this whole journey and I didn't and I should have.
Hmm.
I should have months ago.
You don't have to.
Yes, I do. You could have gotten all of the bread right back from my father.
It was never about the money.
I know it wasn't. And I know it's not polite to talk about, but no one would have blamed you.
For what?
For divorcing me. Publicly.
Mary,
you could be betrothed to someone that you don't have to hide. And people wouldn't be gossiping about you. And you could go be registered without having to drag me on a donkey ride. Joseph, I'm you are a brave man. And you are godly. And I should have said thank you.
God told me to.
I know he did.
Yes.
You had a choice.
I don't believe that I did. But I'm glad. Either way. I wouldn't change a single thing that has happened since that dream. Hmm?
Neither would I.
Oh, this all seems impossible, huh?
Yes. But remember what the messenger said to me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is impossible with God.
My messenger didn't say that. That would have been nice, huh?
Oh.
Mm. Are you feeling better?
A bit, yes.
Okay. Papa.
Okay.
To move quicker. You need water, and I plan to get settled for the part where your messenger and my messenger said the same thing. And she will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Yes, that part. Come on.
Okay, so now I watched this whole diatribe, this whole little scene here, and they're just talking back and forth, and I'm saying, you just wasted 7 minutes of nothing. The donkey said more than they did. This was a worthless 7 minutes. It was worthless.
And
I look at Joseph And he doesn't look like a Joseph to me. At least, maybe he's a Joseph from Brooklyn, New York. Maybe he's a Joseph from the Red Hook Projects. But, you know, the second thing is Joseph has an accent. I don't know, you know, is he from Russia? Where's this Joseph from?
I don't know.
So, I don't know. I looked at the 7 minutes, and I was trying to look at it not with a critical eye, but, you know, and I'm saying this is 7 minutes wasted.
Right. And I'm wondering, Mary is thanking Joseph for protecting her, with, and she's referring to the scene where Joseph could have divorced her and all this stuff when he found out she was pregnant and not having to bother with everybody gossiping or whatnot. But we don't have any way of knowing for sure if Mary even knew that he thought about doing that. Or is she just speculating with this conversation that he may have thought? So, you know, I guess this is the best Dallas could do to at least include that part of the story by just having them discuss, you know, having a passing conversation about it later. But I don't even know if Mary even knew that, what Joseph was thinking, if he ever told her about anything.
But listen, we know that this, look, they're not having this conversation 3 months later. They're not having this conversation on their way to Bethlehem. This conversation, if it was had early on.
Right.
Right? Because the moment, mm-hmm. the Bible says, this moment she conceived of the Holy Ghost, it was notified to Joseph, and then he wanted to put her away quietly, but then the angel appeared to him. All of this happened early on. The conversation, the hammering out of these issues happened early on, not when she's about to give birth and on their way to Bethlehem. That's not when it happened.
Right.
Right? And then they're pussyfooting around the conversation. Right? They're just dancing around it. They're, you know, I didn't know how to bring it up. And wait a minute. You know, you're about to burst and you didn't know when to bring it up or how to bring it up. We're past
right.
that. This makes no sense.
Exactly.
No sense.
And I think that's why Dallas is doing it this way, because he didn't take the time to actually show the scene of Joseph, of the angels appearing to both of them and all that whole thing,
right.
which a lot of other movies about the Lord have done that, and some of them have done it very well. So I don't know why Dallas decided to skip this part.
Oh, listen, if I was to start the movie, right, if I was, my opening scene would be Joseph knocking on doors and saying, is there any room here? I have a pregnant woman who's about to get... That's how I would have started it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Him knocking on doors and him being rejected until the manger. That's how I would have started it, because this 7 minutes
this part
is nonsense.
Was a waste.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Right.
You know? I did it because an angel told me. What? I mean, you had that conversation already. That's a fact. You're not having that conversation on your way to the manger. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, it was the inchworm who gave him this script also, because this is just retarded. This is just, you know. You know, no, first of all, you've given me an hour and 30 minutes of gibberish with song and dance. You better hop mm-hmm. to it and get to the point here. And this 7 minutes, you know, let's get to it. You're dragging
right.
this thing out. It just,
and
this
not,
opening scene.
And
no.
it's 7 minutes she'll never get back, because, you know, and then it's getting ready to hop back to the guy in the wagon going into town again. So get ready for that next.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm confused because now we're 40 A.D. Then you take me back to 4 B.C. Then you take me back to 40 A.D. What, you know, what is this? Back to the future? Back to the past? What is this?
Yes.
This, you know, and like I said, I'm watching here. I'm looking at this. And the donkey is saying to himself, I'm glad I don't have anything to say because this script is stupid. I mean, I'm glad I don't have any lines. Wow. Okay.
Halt. Late night for delivery. It was a long journey. What have you got? I'm sorry. Oh, agriculture, grain, fruit. What am I going to find if I look in here? The best figs in the region. Didn't mention the fine goods. I'll take a look at your papers now. Everything all right? You look a little pale. Here they are. Better not have skipped my turn.
Quit wasting time. I don't want to work
here. Okay, so he passed the checkpoint. He was sweating bullets. And,
yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. All right, so now we're back to 4 A.D.
Right.
Make up your mind.
Yeah.
Where are we? Make up your mind. Tell me one story at a time.
Yeah, this was rough, and so I'm trying to stick with it.
It's like the preacher who's preaching on Noah and the Ark, and then before you know it, he's talking about Paul and Silas in prison. Which story is it?
Exactly. You know, it's a little confusing the way it bounces back and forth so quickly.
Yeah. All right.
Right. I believe that Samuel's house is through here. I'm not sure how he will respond to your condition, but he will have water, and it will be nice to see him. Actually, I don't know if this is it. It looks so different. Maybe because there are so many people. I think if we... Thank you. don't have time to look for Samuel.
No, no, it'll be fine. I know you wanted to run.
I need to get you to the end, Mary. You need your rest. Maybe I can find a valve so you can drink, and I'll take you straight to the end.
Thank you.
So now we're back to the guy with the smuggle stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I'm getting dizzy.
So Joseph and Mary have just arrived in Bethlehem, and they're going to look for somewhere to stay. And, yeah, you're
right.
Real right. I'm getting whiplash going back and forth. This
yeah.
is worse than a ping pong match.
Yeah. Boy, you know, there was an old Hollywood director that just used to put out garbage movies. His name was Ed Wood. That's what this reminds me of, an Ed Wood movie. Horrible. Horrible.
No longer, for I have found a way. Tychicus, Lazarus. It's an honor. Your fame has spread among so many of us. You are very kind. Paul says you are brave and righteous. It's a pleasure to serve. There is someone very eager for your arrival. May I tell her Paul is safe and sound?
Yes.
Come in quickly.
That guy that was smuggling something arrived at somebody's house. And then we just got back to Joseph and Mary. So.
Right. But is that supposed to be the time of the book of Acts? But the thing is, who are these people? Because he mentioned a name, Lazarus, and then I didn't quite catch the other guy's name, and but he mentioned the Apostle Paul. So, and then they do the password. He said something about the way, and I think they used to call Christians followers of the way or something historically. And then they do that little fish thing in the ground. They draw a picture of that. He draws one part, and the other guy draws the other part. And that's how they know it's safe or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm confused. 44 AD, 44 AD is right before Paul's mission with Barnabas. This is right before the Holy Ghost says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them."
I think it's 48 A.D. 48 A.D. I think is what the year you had up there.
Yeah. So then, if that's the case, the first epistle to the epistle to the Galatians was already written, and so was first Thessalonians. So, okay. Let's see what this again. I don't know who the person is. The only Lazarus I know is the Lazarus in the parable, Lazarus in the rich man, and the other Lazarus is the one that Jesus raised from the dead. So I don't know what Lazarus they're talking about.
Me either, unless they're saying Lazarus was a common name or something. And by the way, they're not saying where this is. This is at some secret location, apparently.
And listen, I'm not critical of the actors, and I'm not being critical of the scenery, and I'm not being critical of the wardrobe, right? The wardrobe is set to the time. The Roman uniforms are set to the time. It does look like a biblical town square, right? I mean, everything looks to the period. But what stinks is the script.
Yes.
That's what stinks. The storytelling, the directing just stinks because I don't know where I am. If I took a snooze like I normally do when I'm watching a movie, you know, my wife will elbow me in the ribs and say, wake up, right? Because 5 minutes into a movie, I'm already snoring. So she'll jab me, wake up. I wake up, I say, what is this? Where are we? He keeps going back and forth. I'm lost. I'm lost.
You blink
in the first 5 minutes.
Like, what's going on?
Right. Okay.
So this is bull dropping here. I don't like this, okay? You're lying to me, yeah? Okay?
Because he knows that we aren't exactly... that I can't just give him more money like the others can. But he insisted that they were full. I was furious, but I kept my calm, like I promised.
Of course.
I told him about our situation. That didn't make a difference either. He just said that there was nothing. Finally, his wife said that if we wanted, we could try camping in a stable. They promised us water and blankets to help, even lamb's clothes for the baby. And they promised that they would be clean. But I can go look for Senor. If he is living in the same home, then he will have room.
I'm sorry. I slowed this down. I should have stayed on.
Oh, Maria, it's not your fault.
Joseph?
Resting my eyes.
Are you feeling well enough to see her?
She's here? Oh, what are you waiting for?
She loves me.
Oh, how did they get you here?
Ash former zealot had ideas and old friends to get me to Tishka for the last leg.
Do you need anything else?
Where is he now?
Persia, Lebanon, Armenia, all over the place.
I will just leave you to it then. Let me know if you need anything.
Thank you. I came as soon as I heard.
Just a fever. I'll be fine. I just had something to share with you. But first, anything to report about our boys?
I don't want. Let's just talk about what you brought me here for.
I want to know, Mary. I pray for them every day. I want to know what to pray for.
They're preaching everywhere. And the church is growing. In the depths of Big James and Nathaniel seem to have known him bold and everyone, especially Peter.
Of course.
So this is a scene with Mary Magdalene. She's the person that they smuggled, and she's visiting some woman here. I haven't made out who this woman is.
That's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I guess she's sick or something, and she's sent for Mary Magdalene, I guess. She's sent for her to come.
All right, and James has been killed, and also Nathaniel has been killed.
Right.
I know James was killed in Acts 12, but I don't know why Nathaniel was killed off. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nathaniel is an apostle, right?
Right.
So if he died in the year 48, let's say, or this flashback is to the year 48 A.D. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the book of Acts was completed in 56. From 56,
okay.
The estimation is from 56 to 66 when Paul made his first trip to Rome. So if you record Stephen's death, why didn't you record Nathaniel's death? And the reason why you didn't record Nathaniel's death is because Nathaniel didn't die. So for you to say that Nathaniel and Steve and James are dead, where's the proof?
But nothing about Stephen.
Right. Because Stephen is a deacon. Right? You would think they would record the death of Christ's apostles.
Right.
And
so, yeah, I get what you're saying, that it's likely he wasn't dead.
No, he wasn't dead. The thing is, he's not dead. Again, I'm asking for proof. Show me, because when you go to the Fox Books of Martyrs, Nathaniel dies way after.
Right.
He doesn't die this early. And I'd rather trust Fox Books of Martyrs or Eusebius's Church History than Dallas Jenkins.
Oh, you got that right.
So, you know, how could you record, how could Luke, How could Luke record the death of Stephen and the death of James, but fail to record the death of Nathaniel? How's that even possible? And it's not. When Dallas, you know, places them together, Big James and Nathaniel died. No. Big James, yes.
Right, and
Nathaniel, no.
And why would Mary, the mother of Jesus, have to send for Mary Magdalene to know what was going on with everybody? I would think word would get to her from various sources over the years that have passed, I would think.
And why are they smuggling Mary Magdalene? What is she? Is she like, you know, Harriet Tubman?
I'm starting to side with you because you brought up at some point that Dallas must have based this Mary Magdalene on that Gnostic gospel that's out there.
Sure.
This beefed up role of Mary Magdalene may have come from there.
Absolutely. No, this is rubbish. But let's proceed to see what's going on here. Let's see.
Okay.
Man, it is getting more difficult. It's clear they want us all dead. You can pray especially for Andrew in Greece. They say he will be arrested at any moment. I will pray that this.
Again, that's rubbish. You can pray for Andrew in Greece. He's about to be arrested. That's rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
That's just garbage. That's, you know, and he says, we want to be authentic. Authentic? Stop making stuff up.
Right.
Just, you know, authentic to what?
Authentic to his own imagination and interpretate the spin that he puts on these stories, because this whole storyline is made up. And I'm thinking that what we're seeing about Mary, the nativity and all that, is Mary here in 48 AD laying in bed remembering those times, because apparently she's bringing Mary Magdalene here to tell her some stuff about it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what this is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure. All right, let's see.
Do you know where Luke is? Yes, he's in Rome with Paul.
Can you reach him?
If necessary, of course. Why?
He's been gathering his record of the stories, and we spoke. But I didn't tell him everything.
There is enough wood here. I can put something together for you.
There's no time. They're coming a bit faster now.
All right. We can do this. Try to see if you can find a spot to...
48 AD would have been too early for Paul and Luke to be in Rome.
Okay, I was
too
wondering
early.
About that.
It's too early. At this time, in 48 AD... Paul is in Thessalonica.
Okay.
He's not in Rome.
Hmm.
You know, before Paul can... See, you have the first missionary journey of Paul, you have the second, you have the third, and then you have his final trip to Rome. At this time, Paul is in his second trip. How do you leapfrog over trip number three? You can't... No. This
Dallas pulled a fast one on everybody with this one. with these timelines. Yeah. But we already know he doesn't have any real respect for the timelines anyway. So
Right. Okay, here's more. Now we're back with Joseph and Mary. In other words, we're back with the young Mary, not the old Mary.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Sit on this blanket and I'll put something together for you and clean up, huh?
Okay. He needs a place to sleep.
What?
When he gets here, he needs a place to lie down. You make my bed. I'll make it.
Already a mother, huh?
The humble estate of his servant.
What is that?
What?
What are you saying?
Oh, nothing.
Is it the Song of David? We could use one right about now.
No, sorry. Just something to myself.
A poem you created?
Yes, but...
When?
Several months ago.
I would love to hear it.
Maybe the wife could come and help.
No, there isn't any time. We've got
to... No. Oh,
Mary,
I don't want you touching me like this.
Close. Mary, look at
me. No, I can wait. I just go get some.
Don't look over there, Mary. Look at me. We are not alone.
I'm so scared.
Remember what your messenger said. The first thing your messenger said. It was the same thing my messenger said to me, remember?
Don't be afraid. I love you. Thank you for taking care of me. God gave it to me.
He has been our help. And in the shadow of his wings, we will sing for joy. A song of David. Can I hear yours now?
Not now.
Oh, I know. It is time, yes? Okay. It is time.
I told Luke about the journey to Bethlehem and about how we couldn't get a room at the inn. But I didn't tell him about my son.
Your son?
When I went to see my cousin Elizabeth when she was pregnant with John, she cried out when she saw me. I told Luke about this, how she was overwhelmed for the both of us. And she called me the mother of her Lord. And we were laughing and crying together. And it was all too much. And words of praise just burst out of me.
Please tell me I'm about to hear them.
You're going to write them down and deliver them to Luke.
The materials are here.
I trust you to get them right and to keep it safe and to get it to Luke.
Wow, so he's giving now, see, he's elevating Mary to the place of Christ. And
right.
he's elevating Mary Magdalene to the place of an apostle where she got inspiration to write down this stuff.
Right. That Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going to dictate to her. And in that Gnostic gospel, didn't she supposedly dictate a bunch of teachings to the rest of the apostles? So that's why I'm thinking, bro, you were right on it when you said that he got the idea for this character from there. It is the only thing that makes sense.
Right, right. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is elevated to godhood because she's the one who provides inspiration. And make sure you get it right, like the Holy Spirit made sure that the apostles got it right when they wrote it down. And Mary Magdalene is elevated up there with the, so she, a woman has to dictate to a woman. It's that woman, you know, it's that feminist theology garbage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And she would go all, send Mary all the way to find Luke just to tell him the part about the my soul magnifies the Lord, psalm that she did, that she, or praise that she did with Elizabeth? Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, none of the, again, this is just, boy, I tell you.
he's reaching, boy, to put this story together, and it would be so much easier for him if he just followed the Bible. You know, other movies have done great with the nativity story.
Right, right, right. But remember, the Bible's too boring. So,
yeah, you're right.
You know, yeah, that's according to him now.
Right, right.
And, of course, he wants to be authentic. So, you know. All right, let's see. Let's see how this ends.
I've kept it all to myself. As you know, I like to treasure things in my heart. I was shy and it felt personal between God and me. But I wish I would have shared it with Joseph. And people must know. These felt like God's words as much as my own. I can't explain it, but they did. And people must know.
Now, why would she need to share things with Joseph when he was part of the whole experience?
I guess she's claiming she didn't tell, because this psalm, because she was saying a little of it when she was having the pains and stuff in front of him, but she didn't tell him much about it. But you remember that happened when she was visiting with Elizabeth. So I guess she wished she had told him about it.
Wow.
I guess, bro. I don't know.
yeah. Think about it. She receives a message from an angel. He receives a message from an angel. They both travel to Bethlehem. They both witness the birth of the baby. Joseph gets a dream. An angel tells him, take the child and go to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to come back. Then an angel appears to him in Egypt and tells him, okay, you can come back. I think Joseph pretty much got the message. I mean, I don't think anything was hidden. unless, you know, he's a pothead or something, you know. I mean, how could he not?
Joseph knew all the stuff that was important, put it that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, because every step of the way, the angel is talking to Joseph and telling him what the next move is going to be.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Right? So, again, I don't know what she's hiding from. I wish I would have shared it with him. Shared what? Please, I would like to have an angel talk to me. Share what? And the Magi come, and that doesn't impress him that the Magi come? It doesn't impress him that, again?
And the shepherds show up?
Right. It doesn't impress him that an angel warns him and says, you know, flee Bethlehem because they're after the baby. And he must have heard how they slaughtered all the babies after he narrowly escaped with Mary and the child. Right? I mean, what are you talking? I would like to share. Share what? He knew everything. This makes no sense. If you read the gospel narratives, Joseph was in the loop. He was in the loop.
He's talking about he didn't know, so allegedly didn't know about the part in Luke 1. 46 through 55. Remember that
that makes no sense.
I'm just telling you, that's what this is.
when they dedicated the child to 8 days old, right? Didn't Hannah come and prophesy? Didn't Simeon come in front of both of them?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. When he was 12 years old and Jesus stayed behind. And he was mesmerizing the teachers in the temple. Was Joseph there or not? Or was Joseph somewhere fishing and camping out? No, he was right there.
He was there.
Right? So I don't know what Joseph didn't know what. I mean, that's nonsense. This can be refuted just by opening up the Bible and say, maybe you don't know what Joseph knew, but this is what he knew. And he knew
right.
it all. He knew it all. Everything that he needed to know, he knew it because God was keeping Joseph and Mary one step ahead of the people who are after the baby.
That's right.
That tells me that, you know, okay.
He knew
now,
the important things.
Right. Did he know what it was to have his water break? No, he's not a woman. Did he know what it was to push the baby out? No, because he wasn't the mother. Come on.
You did see the big scene there where he scooped up some manure and moved it around.
Yeah, he knew what it was to smell fresh manure. That he knew. But everything else, he didn't know. This is so stupid. Okay, we have a few more minutes.
I'm ready. Rejoices in God my Savior. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed, and he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
I got to see this again because I saw Jesus come out of his mother's womb with a diaper on. I got to see this again. Just bear with me. I want to make sure I saw this right.
Kids, we were laughing and crying when she was pregnant with John. Felt like God's words as much as my own. It will call me blessed. And he who is mighty has done great things. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our father, to Abraham.
The baby came out of his mother's womb with a diaper on.
Did he?
Yep.
I thought it was just that cloth that they had, that Joseph had around them. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go back and look at that later.
Go back and look at that because, yeah, he came out with a diaper on.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I want to. And, by the way, there's no fluid over the baby. There's no gook over the baby. There's nothing. He came out clean. Queen,
well, he's Jesus, right? He's Jesus, right?
Wow. Okay. She did it because Dallas made her do it. That's
what,
how she
got
did
the
it.
Baby with a diaper on and completely clean.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I tell you, this is bad. You know, the Bible says that, you know, the Holy Spirit moved on holy men. Now,
yes.
Again, I'm not anti-woman. I'm not anti-woman. But the scripture says that God the Holy Spirit moved on men to write the scriptures. He didn't move on Mary Magdalene. I'm sorry.
Right.
You see, it boy, This is just... And not even, you know, it's not like it's the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel Mary Magdalene and Luke. It's not like they co-authored, like people help, you know, he's got co-writers. No, the Gospel of
right.
Luke did not have co-writers. Now, of course, Luke wasn't there. He's the historian. He's piecing together the information, but he's the sole writer.
That's right. And the Holy Spirit would have inspired him on which things to include, because I'm sure he gathered a lot of data and information from different sources and interviews when he could. So
right.
The Holy Spirit would help him put that all together in his gospel and also when he wrote the book of Acts.
Correct. Correct. So, no, when we get back in January, we got to go back to this. And
okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewatch the portion that we already watched just so that
mm-hmm.
we can have a timeline, like when he says, you know, this happened in this year. And, you know, we'll just go back and check it and just make sure that, because as you know, we've seen in the past, this guy's chronology is just all over the place. He just jumps around and puts things
right.
that go last in the beginning, and things that go in the beginning, he puts them last. So
that's right.
Great show
we can do
as
that
always.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, great show as always. And this is I tell you, boy, people here. I'm watching the people that are writing in, what do you call that, the chat? And
yes.
They're sending money, $100, $50.
Yes, indeed.
The money's, I mean, it's just, money's rolling in. All right, my sister.
All
you
right.
have the last word. You have the last word. Great, great year. Looking forward to 2022. And you have the last word.
Well, bro, just thanks to the Lord that he got us through another year. And I hope that this was glorifying to him and pleasing to him. Thank you for assisting me and giving me an opportunity to present. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. Have a very blessed holiday season. We'll be continuing to pray for Brother Kevin and everyone else that you've mentioned that are going through and their families. Love on them and just enjoy the holiday season. And we'll see you when we get together next time, God willing. Take care. We love you.
Celebrate the holidays with Big Faith.
Thank you.